servant, and I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me.
Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God presented to you by the Macarius Church Headquarters. This great teaching provides clear and straightforward answers for anyone desiring to walk according to the Word of God. Enjoy some of the most comprehensive and down-to-earth teachings as taught at the Macarius Church Headquarters.
I am listening, I am waiting, speak to me.
Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, it's your time. It's your season of enlargement. Hallelujah. Is that Reverend Kofi? Wow, what a blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a time in your presence. Thank you that we shall never go back the same. Because of the word and because of your spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lift up your hands and just ask the Holy Spirit to give you the spirit of revelation. That as you receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls, there will be a transformation. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hands and you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Bishop Eddie is in Zurich, Switzerland, attending the honor services for our mother, Mrs. Elizabeth Hayward Mills, who passed away peacefully on Sunday, the 2nd of June, and for whom honor services are being held in Zurich now. Today is a Thanksgiving service. But God willing, on Friday, this coming Friday, on the 21st of June, at 10 a.m., there will be an honor service for her at the Anakazo campus. It's a good place to clap. An honor and memorial service will be held for her at the Great Hall, Anakazo campus. Now, as you are aware, Mrs. Elizabeth Hayward Mills was the wife of the late N.N. Hayward Mills, barrister at law, and the mother of Bishop Dag Hayward Mills and his sisters. Our dearly beloved mother and grandmother, in fact, the orphanage was named after her. And indeed, she was a mother to every single person who was part of Lighthouse Chapel International. So, there will be an honor and memorial service followed by a reception at the Elizabeth Gardens on Anakazo campus. Beautiful. Beautiful. And I believe you should be there. Because this is an important funeral for you. Sometimes I hear that some people on a Saturday wear funeral clothes looking for a funeral to attend. Yeah, yeah. In certain places that I shall not mention, they wear funeral clothes and say, we are looking for a funeral to attend. You see? And the reason why they are doing that is that they are actually looking for a party to attend, not a funeral. They are looking for a party. It's not a funeral. Do you understand? Because a funeral, according to Ecclesiastes 7:2, I believe, in the Message Bible, it says that you learn more at a funeral than at a feast or a party. After all, that's where we will all end up. One day, when we attend a funeral, it will be somebody's funeral. It will be your funeral. Hey, Charlie. We are all going to end up there. In fact, one of the sages of time management, whatever, he says that one of the things that you should have, one of the habits you should have, is you should begin with the end in mind. That is, one day sit down and then imagine that you are at a funeral. Do you get me? Imagine that you are at a funeral. But not anybody else's funeral. That the person in the box is you. Yeah. 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 And then think about what the people will say when they are coming to give their tributes. Whether they be forced to lie. Or they will speak the truth, which is the truth. Like one guy went to the pastor and told the pastor that my brother is about to be buried. You know he was a crook, he was a swindler, he was a drunkard. But you say that he was a saint. You just say that he was a saint to avoid all this. So the pastor agreed and he was preaching. And the brother was sitting there. And the pastor came and said, this man who is dead was a crook, a swindler. But compared to his brother sitting here, he was a saint. He was a saint. Hey! Yeah. So, you know, the other day I was attending a funeral, not physically, on YouTube. According to this same truth that you learn more at a funeral than at a feast. It was one of the charismatic fathers of faith who had died. He died about 2 months ago, maybe. I think end of March. It was his funeral. I mean, glowing tribute. His friends came to say a lot of things. But it was the story of his wife which touched me. She said that, you know that in 2016, he suffered a stroke. He had surgery and was miraculously healed. In fact, one of the people who was in theater, the operating theater, told somebody after that they saw an angel in the operating room. Now, when the surgery was finished, the angel vanished, disappeared. Yeah, powerful. But when he came back from the surgery, the doctors told him that there's a clogged artery. That is an artery which has a blockage in it. So he should come back for further surgery. He never went back for the surgery. So 2016, 2017, his wife and his two daughters kept on urging him that, go for the surgery. Why don't you arrange for this surgery? Why don't you? But he kept an increasingly busy schedule. Until in 2020, he decided to go for the surgery. But when he booked the surgery, then COVID came. So when COVID came, that surgery could not come on. And the wife said, she said it in the video, it's not like public. He would have been here today if he had listened to the doctors. Then she advised the people who were watching that, don't put away that thing, or don't put off the advice the doctors are giving you, or what you have to do, the symptoms in your body, the health checks you have to do, especially when you are over 40, because If you do that, or if you don't do that, you will cause pain to your loved ones. Yeah, that's what she said. Yeah. So that's what she said. It's very important. So let's come and honor Mrs. Elizabeth Hayward Mills, but let's also come and discover something that we use for our lives. Okay? Yeah. Today is also Father's Day. And I honor all the fathers in the house. God bless you because it is fathers who cause us to exist. And in the last two verses of the Old Testament, because when God spoke in Malachi, no prophet appeared again for 400 years. Yeah. After God spoke in Malachi, that the prophet Malachi came, between Malachi and the next prophet John was 400 years. So it must have been very, very important, the last words of Malachi that God spoke before he didn't speak for another 400 years. In fact, many of the apocryphal books were written in that 400 year period, which shows you that if God is not speaking, don't force him to speak. He's not saying anything. So in Malachi chapter 4 verse 5, in the King James Version, it says that, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So what we are being made to know is that when the hearts of the fathers are not turned to the children and the hearts of the children are not turned to the earth, there's a curse in the earth. But you are being delivered from that curse because of the teaching of our father, Bishop Dagwood Mills, who has taught us to honor fathers. Oh yes. Because I realize that the trend generally is for authority figures to be despised and even mocked and laughed at. Students give their teachers and lecturers nicknames. And their fathers nicknames. Because they mock at them. Because they say, "Oh, their time is past. They don't know anything." When you were small, but you thought your father was the strongest man in the world. "My father will beat you." You tell your friend, "My father will beat you." Even my father can beat your father. Do you understand me? So today, I thought that since we are in a season of enlargement, I'll share from our father's very powerful book, Enlargement Secrets, from chapter 34. Oh yes. It says, "Enlarge by a father's instructions." Beautiful. Now, Joshua chapter 11 verse 15, the New International Reader's Version. "The Lord had commanded his servant Moses to do all of those things. Moses had passed that command on to Joshua, and Joshua carried it out. He did everything the Lord had commanded Moses." You see, God is making you a Joshua generation person. You see, when you compare the Moses generation people to the Joshua generation people, the Moses generation, their default mode was oppose the leader. That's how come three guys called Korah, Dathan, and Abiram never, anyway, I was going to say never, name your sons after that, after them, but I also realized that there were good names and there are some good people. Because even Judas, it's actually a very good name. It's Jude or Judah, which means praise. So it's a good name, only that the guy has spoiled the name. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram arose out of the Moses generation of people who oppose leaders. You shall never be an opposer of leaders. Yeah. And fathers. In fact, in this same book, in chapter 3, I believe, it talks about enlargement guided by recent history, in that when the Joshua generation saw the way that the Moses generation had treated Moses, they resolved something. They said something powerful in Joshua chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. They became people who were established in loyalty, established in fatherhood. You see, fatherhood is one of the teachings of loyalty. In case you are not aware, in Joshua 1:16, and they answered Joshua saying, "All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses." So they are saying that we are with you. And then they went on to say, "Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandments, and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage." Say, "I belong to the Joshua generation." Oh yes. And like what we are saying is that the Joshua generation listens to the instructions of a father, and they are enlarged to the instructions of their father. You will become one of the Joshua generation, listening to the father's instructions and thereby being enlarged. And if you have a good father, he will give you instructions. Oh yes. My father was a man of few words. But he used to laugh. He could laugh loud. And never gave so many instructions. But I remember that one day when I was in the long vacation between Form 1 and Form 2, in St. Thomas Aquinas Secondary School, Osu, in Ghana, Osu, cantonments. I was sitting in the garden, I think I was reading, when he brought me a book. The title of the book was A Child's History of England. He just brought it to me and said, "Read it." He didn't say much, he just said, "Read it." He didn't say why I should read it, he didn't say, he just said, "Read it." You see, the interesting thing was that he, by example, had taught me to be a reader. Right. Why? Because he had books. He went to England. He bought books. He bought children's classics. He bought Heidi. He bought Black Beauty. He bought Robin Hood. He created an environment of reading. And I want to urge you, somebody, that you may not have been brought up in an environment of reading, but by virtue of the fact that you are in this environment, under Bishop Eddie Adi, under Bishop Dagodmus, become a reader of books. You don't like books. All you like are short videos. You can't sit with the book and read for even 30 minutes. That is why there's no nothing in this coconut. General science, nothing. Nothing. You can't, not civics, nothing. You can't sit down and read. Ask your neighbor, especially as I'm in this area, ask your neighbor that do you read books? Do you read books? Do you read books? Do you read books? I feel that this particular part of the preaching is for the unquenchable fire service. Because you like dancing, you like rapping, you like singing, you like, but do you read books? Do you like reading books? When you go to school, do you know anything at all? It doesn't even matter to you whether you are 44th out of 45 students or second. It doesn't matter. It's not a goal or an aim. It's like, oh, Charlie, oh, man, oh, oh. I just want some videos to watch. Shame on you. A certain small boy, he went to school. And his teacher was facing him. And he told the teacher, shame on you. Hey. So they came to tell the mother that your boy was saying, in fact, when he said shame, and then he even turned around and said, are you shame? He said, So the mother, the teacher told him, then the mother told the teacher that, me, I don't say things like shame on you to him. So if he has learned shame on you, then he learned it in school. It's not... No, but seriously, see, years ago I read about Ben Carson. Ben Carson is a neurosurgeon, a black neurosurgeon. In fact, in his interview to be a resident, to be trained to be a specialist neurosurgeon in Johns Hopkins University, there were 140 something people being interviewed for two posts. In fact, when he got to the interview, according to him, the interviewer put aside the neurosurgery because something about classical music came up. And apparently he, Ben Carson, was into classical music. So the guy discussed classical music with him till the end of the interview and told him that I'll give you the job because I need somebody to discuss classical music with. Yeah. So I'll give it. But you don't. The only music you know is oh. You don't know first love music. You have Shatawale and other musics that don't break. Hey, wake up the brother. You see, he's sleeping. When we are preaching about reading books, he's sleeping. They are preaching. You don't read at all today. Your life of non-reading will end in Jesus' name. So Ben Carson became Ben Carson because his mother used to work in the homes of white people. She was like a cleaner there. So one day, she came home. Ben Carson and his brother were watching TV as usual. Look, too much TV, you don't have hope in your life. I'm telling you. It's like people, I know a place, the men, they grow up to a point, then all the rest is like playing drums. It's a hopeless life. And some too are just watching TV for the rest of their lives. She turned off the TV and said, when I go to the homes of the white people, their children are not watching TV. They are reading their books. You to go and get books and read. Hey! She said, you will borrow books from the library 2 a week. And you read the books and you summarize them and give them to me. Give me the summaries. Yeah, that's what she said. come and see. Ben Castle, who knew nothing at school, he suddenly began to shine. One day his teacher asked in class, I've forgotten the part, whether it's a sediment, some type of rock. She asked a question in the class, and Ben Carson lifted up his hand, and all the other students started to giggle. Whether, oh, he doesn't know. He got up and mentioned, hey, the guy has become, you also become a wonder through your reading of books. Yeah, you also become a wonder. Even our prophet's books that he has written, they are free all to all, 106 books on your device. If I go check your device, you don't have them. You don't have them. You don't have that. Because you don't like readings. But I'm telling you that, look, the top, I said, either 20% or so, they read. Oh, the rest, they don't read. I mean, people are around, plenty of people, are, they don't read. And then if you join those who don't read, then you're also relegating yourself to the top. But today, on this Father's Day, receive the instructions of a father. Ah, the book of Revelation chapter 1. He begins by saying, go to Revelation chapter 1. Verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Who bear record? Verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth. Blessed is he that readeth. You are a reader, you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. Oh yes. So what I'm saying is that enlargement comes through a father's instructions. And our prophet says here in this lovely book, chapter 34, that in order to experience enlargement, you must follow the instruction that God gives to you. But you must also take note of the instructions given to the fathers that existed before you. Then he says, throughout my life and ministry, I've always taken note of instructions given to fathers who lived before me. They have formed an important part of the things that guide me in the ministry. You must remember what God spoke to your fathers about and consider them as guidance for your life and ministry. Then he gives an example here. He says, I remember listening to Kenneth Hagin as he spoke about a vision he had of Jesus. Kenneth Hagin was preaching one day on a highly polished wooden stage. Then he slipped and fell and hit his elbow. So on his way to the hospital, the Lord told him that, instead of being angry with me, you should be thankful. Then he said to him that, you have put the teaching ministry ahead of the prophetic. And that if I had not done this to draw your attention, you would not have lived beyond the age of 55. Are you with me? Immediately I read that, I remember that there was another one man of God called William Marion Branham, who was a prophet. But he decided to teach. In fact, originally, Branham said he was too shy and too uneducated to teach. So he wouldn't teach. But suddenly, he began to teach. And a man of God called Gordon Lindsay told him that, this is William Branham. He told him that, you shouldn't teach. Because his teaching was causing harm to the body of Christ. But Branham said, I will teach. In fact, in another prayer meeting, there was a prophetess called Anshrada. Anshrada was praying with others when she suddenly got up and said, look, go and warn Branham. He's going the way of Dawi. He will die if he continues doing what he's doing. Branham didn't take heed to it. So the Lord spoke to Kenneth Hagin and said, somebody who is at the forefront of the healing and prophetic ministry, before 1966, I will take him away. Because of the harm he's doing to the body of Christ. Yeah. that somebody who is somewhere that he's not supposed to be, doing what he's not supposed to be doing. So in December 1965, Branham was driving in his car. When a car was coming towards them, but that car, the light on this side was gone. So it looked like a motor in the dark. So they crashed into the path which didn't have the light. He fell out of his car. His wife fell out of his car. His son was behind him. He drove to the place. When he got there, Branham was on the floor. Then he spoke to his dad. His dad was alive. His dad said to him, check your mom. He said, my mom is dead. He said, put my hand on her. When he put her on, the woman came back to life. Yeah. But he died. He died because he had moved out of the place where he was supposed to be and was rather teaching dangerous things. You see, so that's one of the instructions that the Lord Jesus told Kenneth Hagin that don't do that. Don't put the prophet, the teaching ahead of the prophetic. Then the prophet says here again, I remember listening to Yonggi Cho preaching. He spoke about how he had had a heart problem and had seen a Japanese doctor who advised him to play golf. The doctor explained how he would add 10 more years to his life if he played golf. He was explaining to the congregation why it was important for him to play golf. When I listened to Yonggi Cho sharing these things, I felt that God was showing me what was important for my life. You see, when you come to church and hear the word of God, immediately apply it to yourself. Oh yes. I read about a man called Anthony of Egypt. I was amazed at his story because he lived in Egypt in the 3rd century. And on Sunday morning, in fact, this young man called Anthony had just inherited a large estate. He had become rich. But when he went to church on Sunday morning, his pastor was preaching from the Gospels when he talked about the rich fool. No, that's not the rich fool. The rich young ruler. Because there are some rich guys in the Bible. One is the rich fool. He said, oh, I have everything laid out for me. And God said, thou fool, your life will be taken away tomorrow. Then there's a rich young ruler who went to Jesus and said, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus gave him the last 5 commandments, which are from 6 to 10. The ones that deal with your neighbor. So when Jesus told him those, he said, oh, those ones are fulfilled, all of them. He was quick to answer that. Oh, Charlie, that one there, 5 over 5, I passed. Then Jesus deliberately had reserved the tough one for the last. He said, the part that says, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, all your soul, with all your strength. Go and sell all that you have. Give it to the poor and come and follow me. And the Bible says, the young man went away sad because he had great possessions. Or as somebody else put it, great possessions had him. This man was sitting in church. The moment the pastor read the passage, without the pastor explaining, Anthony of Egypt felt that God is telling me to go and sell everything I have and come and follow him. He got up from church. He didn't finish the preaching. He got up and went out and went to see his steward and said, value our estate. How much? So we are going to sell everything and you and I are going to lead some people, followers, to go to the outside of the town to look for God. He sold everything and went. This was what led to the conversion of St. Augustine. If you've ever heard of St. Augustine, when St. Augustine heard this story, he said, me, I'm a man of great learning, but I'd not be able to do what Anthony of Egypt to go. Oh, he ran into his garden and started weeping. That's how St. Augustine became converted, through the story of Anthony of Egypt. I'm saying that if the prophet heard Yonggi Cho explaining to the church how a doctor had told him to play golf, and he, the prophet, took it that, hey, it's also a message for me. and began to play golf, then you also hear something in church. Like today, a young person from today should be a serious reader. Many other changes should take place in your life because of the word of God that you are hearing. Oh. Oh. Jesus said, if you know these things, blessed are ye if you do them, if you know them. The famous preacher, Evan Roberts, worshiper, he said, use the truth. Use the truth. Use the truth. Apply it. Use the truth. Use the truth. You see, God spoke to Yonggi Cho about the things that are important for church growth. First of all, prayer. Let's stay with the one that will keep a person alive. You see, in our prophet's powerful book, Demons and How to Deal with Them, chapter 7, the title of that chapter is Satan is Trying to Kill You. Oh yes, that's the title of the chapter. Say, Satan, put it on there. Satan is trying to kill you. And look at John 8. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye would. He was a murderer from the beginning. Then he says in John 10, the thief cometh on that. He has a threefold angel. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's after you. And he goes on to say, show me the place where he talks about a three-legged table. The three-legged table. See, sometimes there are things you must do to remove the foothold of the devil. One day, when I was praying to the Lord about various things that were going on in my life and ministry, the Lord gave me a vision. I saw an unusual three-legged table. The Lord said to me, the devil stands on this three-legged table to launch attacks against you. He said to me, you have to dismantle this table by removing each of the legs. Then he showed me what each of the three legs was and asked me to remove them one by one. When I did, I noticed how the strong, persistent attacks of the enemy were diffused. Look at the chapter, the paragraph, the second paragraph on the right says, perhaps many ministers die before their time due to stress, bad diet, and the lack of exercise. Hey, even before I go there, because this is unquenchable fast, and there are young people here, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. Go to that place in Ephesians chapter 6. Because if you are a young person and you don't honor your father and your mother, look at it. It is the first commandment with a promise. Because commandments don't need conditions. They are just commandments. But this particular one has been made into a promise because a certain condition has been attached. Look at verse 2. It says, verse 3. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You see, your ability to honor your father and your mother as a young person is related to your ability to live long. Oh yes. Oh yes. And a young man may cut short his life just by not honoring his father and mother. Years ago, Archbishop Duncan Williams told a story. A young man, he was a pastor. He came to sit in his office and he told him that, look, when I leave Accra, I'm going to this regional capital and there I'm going to leave my church. I'm going to leave the pastor who has brought me up, because there was an issue, I think, a contention, and the guy felt that, look, he had to leave. But Archbishop Duncan felt that, don't leave. The guy told him that when I go, I will leave. The moment I go back, I'm leaving. Said the guy sat in the car from Accra on his way. He had an accident and died. His life was cut short. Yeah. Because some of you girls, your mother talks, you can talk back. You can stand toe to toe with your mother. Hey! Are you a Macarius Bishop Eddie's daughter, or you are a certain demon's daughter? Say, from today I've changed. I see, they are not saying it strongly because they know themselves. You are a boy, but you can just say, ho. You can do this to your mother. Hey! I'm sure you've heard this story before. The guy who took off his mother's wig and slapped her. Where and when he died. We don't have to talk about it. But these are things that if you do, you will live long. But let's come back to our passage about the three-legged table. What are you doing about the stress in your life? This is not a stress management. So I can only tell you, and then you will go and find out what to do. But one of the things that I can tell you is the institution of a Sabbath. Oh yes, a day of rest. Brother, 7 days in a week, you must find some rest. Otherwise, you are trying to say that you are stronger, wiser than God, who created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Yeah. Are you wiser than God? Stronger than God? Fitter than God? You see, the Welsh revival of 1905 was led by a young man called Evan Roberts. Oh, he was an anointed young man. Hey. I mean, he was moved by the Spirit. And God had told him that I will save 100,000 people in Wales in a revival. He believed it. He was at the forefront of the revival. And the Welsh revival has had an impact. In fact, in its time, the police force in Wales, some people had to be laid off. There was no job for them. Because people were not stealing. The judge could go to court and they'll come and tell them, there are no cases to try. The men are all waiting on God. They are seeking God. In fact, the policemen ended up forming choirs within the police to sing at the rehearsal, at the revival meetings. Yeah, the policemen. And for me, the football FA Cup in Wales of that year, like when they have maybe 1903 Swansea won the FA Cup, 1902 Cardiff City won it, 1904, it says, revival. Wow. Revival. Amen. The revival canceled the FA Cup. That is how powerful the revival was. But even Roberts, he wouldn't rest at all. So one day somebody told that, brother, you have to, do you know what he told them? He told the person that God has made me manly and strong. So if you advise someone and he tells you that, what do you do? You leave him until he suffered a nervous breakdown. Couldn't function. His ministry just suddenly ended. You know? So we are talking about those three factors of stress, bad diets. At least you can talk about sugar. Which is very addictive. And which you don't need a lot of. But because we are addicted to it, you may be eating far more sugar than you need. Far more. And the other one is a lack of exercise. No exercise at all in your life. Three-legged table, stress, bad diets, lack of exercise, junk food. Hey, help us, Jesus. Are you with me? Are you here? You have gone home. In another powerful book written by our prophet called Steps to the Anointing, chapter 7. I don't know why they're both chapter 7. It talks about how to persist until the anointing is put to use. And step number 2 is called the step of phronimos. Somebody say phronimos. Phronimos is a word. I know Chess said practical wisdom. So go there. See, the step of phronimos. Look at the second chapter. Say, many anointed. Oh, no. I mean, the last but one chapter. Many anointed people are not sensible or practical. Because of this lack of wisdom, many anointed men and women are not able to persist in ministry. I thank God I belong to a ministry that has a practical leader, a wise leader, Bishop Dagonus. I'm happy to be in such a ministry, to follow him. Oh yes, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. I remember a pastor, last year, just not so long ago. He went to preach in Hawaii. This one, his spiritual father told me. He said, after the meeting, which was around 4 p.m., the guy said, I'm driving to Kumasi because I need to be in a studio to lead a prayer meeting at midnight. 4 p.m. So they asked him, as you are driving, is there someone going to drive? He said, no. Since some time ago, I had an accident with somebody driving. I drive myself. I don't depend on anybody. Hey. So he drove with people in the car with him, driving from Hohoi to Kumasi. In the night somewhere, 10 p.m. somewhere, around somewhere in the dark, everybody slept in the car. Articulator, something. Pastor died. Everybody. I mean, I think maybe about one or two people survived. His spiritual father told him, I'm going to bury my son. Was this what he did? It's what he did. You see, it's what makes a person feel that I am the one who can do everything in this person. That's what Bishop Eddie said. Oh, you tell me, so you two are any salary. Preach some. Hey, you two are any salary. Preach some. You say, go and preach. Preach. I am not a bishop. I am not a man of God. You two go and preach. Go and preach. That he's, I'm Bishop Eddie. No. He's too wise for that. You see, that was Yonggi Cho's problem. Yonggi Cho said he wanted to be the second either Billy Graham or Robert of Asia. So, hey, moving. One day he was interpreting for somebody, like an American preacher was preaching. Yonggi Cho was standing by him. When he said that, Yonggi Cho said, when the guy said something, when he was trying to speak, the words couldn't come out. He had run his body down. The words couldn't come out. So as he tried to speak and couldn't start, then he collapsed. He was sick for 10 years. Yeah. The Lord told him, I will not heal you. So you learn sense of how not to be the Charlie. I'm the macho man and everybody. Yeah. That's how he thought about the cell system and all this. Other people should do some. Other people should. Oh, yes. We are talking about enlarged by the Father's instructions. Finally, let me give another one. It says that I remember reading from Reinhard Bonnke on how the Lord gave him a vision about his ministry. In the vision, he saw a very large ship that was maneuvering its way down a river. The ship was unable to turn around within the river. The Lord had told him that his ministry was not versatile and easily maneuverable. He needed to become more versatile and flexible so that the Spirit would lead him more easily. And he said, every time I meditated on that vision, I sensed God speaking to me to be more flexible and versatile in my own ministry. It is easy for a ministry to become too large, too heavy, and not easy to control and direct. That's what I'm saying, that pray for that wisdom to immediately pick up when God is speaking to you. Because this is what has led to Makara's Church, Makane Church, and Akazu Assemblies, all this, instead of one big lighthouse chapel international. Yes, wisdom. And finally, I believe God spoke to James McKeon, the father of the Church of Pentecost. a denomination of over 10,000 churches. McKeon handed over his church to his leaders and allowed the church to run without him. This gave the Church of Pentecost the ability to survive beyond its lifetime and into the future. There are some people who have died suddenly and their ministers have been thrown into confusion. But it says here that seeing how the Lord led James McKeon encouraged me to follow the same pattern of handing things over whilst I'm still around. By the grace of God, the united denominations can run by the grace of God without the physical presence of the founder of the union. It's a beautiful succession plan which he gleaned from his father. Time will fail me to ask you what instructions your biological father gave you. Maybe like my father, he didn't speak much. But he may have said one or two things. I believe that if we take those things, add them to what our spiritual fathers have told us, you and I shall be enlarged. Rise to your feet. Let's close on this Father's Day. Enlargement by a father's instructions. Begin to pray for yourself and ask God to give you wisdom. Ask him to make you inclined to your father. He says, my son, hear my words. Be inclined unto me. Be favorably disposed to my teaching and my sayings. Hear the words of your mother, the law of your father, the law of your father. Pray for yourself. Say, Father, help me to honor my father and my mother. And I may live long on the earth. That it may be well with me, that I may live long on the earth. Pray for yourself in the name of Jesus. Rabba Shaka Taya Baba. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Opening our eyes, helping us to see. Give us the vision, Lord. Give us the grace. Open our hearts, Lord. Makata baba ya baba. Ribalo shebalimi ataya mama. Jesus, kabolo shebrande leme maya mama. That we may be enlarged, O God. That we may reach out beyond where we are now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for enlargement. Thank you for the ability to learn from the mistakes of others and survive in the ministry. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands. Open my eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch him. To reach out and touch him. to listen.
And help us to listen.
Open our eyes, Lord.
Open our eyes, Lord.
We want to see Jesus.
We want to see Jesus.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, you are here. But you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Today is your chance. Today is your time. If that is you, you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to lift up your right hand. I'll pray with you. Right there in this auditorium, God is meeting you. God is meeting you. It's your time for change. It's your time for your destiny to be fulfilled. And if you have lifted up your right hand, I want you to do one more thing. Come out of your seat and come to me here. I'll pray with you. Take that bold step and come. Yes, yes. Let us encourage them as they come. You've lifted up your hand. Come to me. I'll pray with you. Yes, yes. And say that we love him. Oh, encourage them as they come. They are coming. Yes, 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 Lord. Help us to listen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. God bless you for coming. I want to pray with you. This is your prayer, but I'm going to help you to pray, okay? Bow down your heads. Let's all pray with them. Oh, God bless you for coming. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. I know I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. Please forgive me. Wash away my sins. Write my name in your book of life. I thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's now time for communion. One of the things my mother used to give us on Sundays was Sunday medicine against malaria. To put it in the food and you swallow it because it was bitter. There's something in what you eat that can kill you, but there's also something in what you eat that can bring you life. And I want you to consider your communion as your spiritual Sunday medicine. That any time you come to church and you eat of the communion, what happened to the children of Israel will happen to you. Because when God organized that great communion service called the Passover, and they ate for 40 years, the Bible says their feet did not swell. And so you therefore today, as you take this communion, and as you renew it every Sunday, you are protected against any disease of your heart and blood vessels in the name of Jesus. You are protected against kidney diseases. Because those are the things that can make your feet swell. Kidney diseases and heart diseases are notable for making feet swell. But today, as you eat this, which is the body of Christ, lift it up and say, the body of Jesus, broken for my healing. Against every heart disease and every kidney disease, in Jesus' name, eat it. The blood of Jesus. Please lift up the blood. One of the functions of blood, which is attributable to the white blood cells, is fighting foreign entities, like bacteria. So as you are about to drink the blood of Jesus, your immunity is being boosted. Why? Because in Jesus' blood, there was no disease. So as you are drinking this blood, you are telling yourself that my blood is going to become more powerful to fight against every disease. Lift it up and say, the blood of Jesus against every disease. Drink it.
Powerful teaching from the Macarius Church headquarters, East Legon Hills, Accra. Stay blessed.
I am waiting.